This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Julian Ng, and this morning I'm speaking to Tan Sri A.K. Nathan, Executive Chairman and Group MD of Eversendai, which is a specialist structural steel contractor operating in 10 countries and 15 offices around the world. It's also listed on the main board of Bursa Malaysia with a market capitalization of ₱500 million. Welcome to the show, Tan Sri.
Good morning and thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And let's start with some good news, Tan Sri. Eversendai bagged some ₱400 million worth of projects at the start of the year. And in fact, also ₱300 million worth of projects in December. So in the last 2 months, already ₱700 million worth of projects. And the details of the recent ₱400 million projects, quite interesting. You have a Singapore high-tech data processing computer facility project in India, a secretariat building of 245-story towers, and also a support structure for an expressway in Qatar. Now, the Singapore one is interesting because it's a tech project. Are you seeing more higher technical abilities and skill as a result of this project?
Now, it's an interesting project. What we are seeing around the world, there are quite a number of high-tech data center buildings are coming up. And this is our breakthrough. We have done one or two projects in the past. Singapore, it's a big turnaround. We were out of the market for about 12 years. And after that, we have moved into Singapore. And now we have positioned ourselves. We just completed the state court project in Singapore. And now this is the second project. So we have another one more job too. It's in a high-rise building in Singapore. So Singapore is becoming another good opportunity for us going forward.
Are you going to see? Are you going to dial down some of your usual projects like building stadiums and power plants and focus more on the high tech sector? And do you think it is the same skill set?
No, it's the same skill set. It is just technically each project has got its own requirement, which we have the capability. Our exposure in terms of business, we are very much into the structural steel, which covers almost about 70% of the or 80% of the turnover of the group. The balance are all the power plants and some composite structures. And we also are into the oil and gas sector, but that is becoming a bit lesser than what we have anticipated.
Now, so far, your order book stands at about ₱2.5 billion, but you're tendering about a ₱10 billion worth of projects. Can you give us an idea about where you're tendering?
We are tendering projects in the Middle East, in India, Southeast Asia, and we are also focusing a bit in London, and we have a strong possibility of winning some jobs in London maybe this year, hopefully. And so we are very much an international company, and our presence in Malaysia in terms of turnover only constitutes about 10% of the overall group's turnover. So we are very well positioned, and the reason is because Eversendai always delivers a job as committed without compromising on safety, quality of workmanship. And when we commit a date, we deliver, and most of the time we deliver ahead. And that enviable reputation is what we have built in the last many years and positioned Eversendai to be one of the leading and sought-after organization when it comes to structural steel works.
So if we dive slightly deeper into this order book, ₱2.5 billion so far, it gives some kind of comfort to investors because you have a visibility of earnings with that ₱2.5 billion for the next one and a half years. But the ₱10 billion is even more exciting. What do you think is the success rate of this ₱10 billion? What is your usual success rate of tendering?
Usually, we get about 15 to 20%, and that's what has been going on in the last many years. Sometimes it goes a bit higher, depending on the overall market situation. The advantage what we have is that we are not dependent on a single client or a single market. We are spread out. That is another standpoint where makes Eversendai far better than some of our company in the peers.
Yeah, but talking about spreading up, certainly based on your 2018 revenue, you have revenues coming from everywhere, but mainly almost three quarters of it are comprised of Middle Eastern revenue. What is your strategy here? Do you have something of a competitive advantage in the Middle East for you to have an outsized focus there compared to other parts of the world?
We have been in the Middle East region for the last 22 years. And we have built the tallest, largest structures in the world. And we have been involved in almost all the prominent projects. And we have positioned ourselves. And we have created a positioning where clients believe if a job is entrusted to Eversendai, it will be completed with no nonsense. And so, and we are also not highly contractual. We only claim what is due to us. And all this comfort and confidence what we have given to the clients, they always come back with repeat orders. And you know, market is very small. And if you are doing good, people talk about it. In fact, in the Middle East, I started the business and did the marketing. And the last 15 years, I've not personally gone and knocking on anybody's doors asking for a job. Company is so well established. Name is very well known. And so we get inquiries and we tender for the job. And most of the time, we get it on a negotiated basis. So in the market there, they know whom to seek for when they have a structure which is highly complex or large, and they want it to be done on time.
Mm-hmm. And so you're in Qatar as well, which according to some research is one of the fastest growing markets in the world as far as construction is concerned. And they're also hosting the FIFA World Cup in 2022, but there are a lot of serious corruption allegation there. Can you give us an idea of what's the landscape of doing business there? Do they have things like open tender?
No, in fact, I don't think so. Corruption is there in a big way. I don't think that's not the right word. Yes, there are a lot of focus on Qatar because
allegations
of its own...
Allegations. Investigations are being carried out as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, every country has got that. You can't just only classify Qatar. But they have their own issues, which they are trying to resolve. The biggest issue is that they have to, first of all, patch up the differences between the Gulf countries. So that they will be able to make business at ease and people to travel in a much better and easy way. So, but for Eversendai, it's not affected. We are not affected in much because we have a localized operation. We have a factory. We have a standalone team which is managing that company. And the good thing is that we are a Malaysian company. So if there is a company based in UAE or Saudi, and if they have an operation in Qatar, they are badly affected, but also we are not.
So, in Malaysia, they're beginning to warm up to this idea of open tenders, which didn't really take place in the past. What about in places like Qatar? Do you think that they will benefit from that?
In fact, not only Qatar, in the whole of Middle East region, we have been there, as I said, 22 years. It's always been open book. Transparency is there.
So they have open tenders?
Very open, okay. Very open. We always participate and win contract based on credibility and capability. And client belief on if they know that Eversendai is a company where they'll get it done. So, they all have a very direct, serious approach where they don't compromise with specifications, standards, and they want the job to be done. It must be done.
On the Breakfast Grill today is Tan Sri A.K. Nathan, Executive Chairman and Group MD of Eversendai, which is a specialist on structural steel. Tan Sri, I just want to get your opinion on Malaysia because in 2018, only 8.5% of your revenue was sourced from Malaysia. And these are things like the Jima East coal-fired power plant, the Merdeka PNB 118 building, as well as Lot 91 in KLCC. And these are, I must say, very prominent projects. But very small in Malaysia. Are you? What's the strategy here? Is it because of a poor sentiment in Malaysia, or you don't like doing business in Malaysia?
No, I would love to do more business in, in Malaysia. It's just that the business at large here, people look for the cheapest and the lowest price, and sometimes it's all about who know who. Many people know Eversendai and they know me. But then when it comes to a certain price level, it is just impossible for Eversendai to meet to that level.
Too low, is it, the pricing?
Too low, because we have certain standards we have set. We cannot go backward to reduce from what we have established. Because there are standards what we established, we cannot go backward. So the acceptance level over here, it's much lower. So I find it very difficult to compete. I mean, if we are not competitive, there's no way we can compete competing against international companies winning jobs in overseas.
But is it a case of you not being competitive, or is it that all these projects have been struck at an unreasonably low price? And what does that say about the quality of the projects here?
Yeah, everybody, you know, always they look into the lowest price, not looking into in terms of quality, in terms of the safety aspect.
Is that concerning?
And the overall project management capability. And we are, Eversendai will not compromise on our standards. So
do you think that that's a concerning factor, the fact that low pricing results in lower quality kind of work?
Definitely.
And
somebody has to cut corners in order to make profits.
What does that say about our projects here, right? The low priced projects.
Yeah, I mean, competition is very severe, and so there are many small time contractors who can end of the day get the job done. And ultimately, it's all about at what cost, in terms of quality, in terms of safety, in terms of on time completion. So it is a question, but the thing, I don't focus and concentrate on that. I rather focus on clients who would want to engage Eversendai. And most of the jobs, whatever we are executing in Malaysia, it's all from multinational companies. It's very difficult for me, even though I have a lot of friends in big companies in Malaysia, but it's really almost impossible to win jobs because we just cannot meet their price level. I just can't understand, because structural steel, it's an international pricing. There's nothing anybody can do much about manipulating with the steel price. Because that is a major component of the overall pricing. The rest is all the fabrication, the transportation, and the construction. How much difference can it be there? So sometimes the price level is just... I myself wonder, how is it possible someone to do a job at a price where, to me, I feel almost like tough?
We have Tan Sri A.K. Nathan, Executive Chairman and Group MD of Eversendai, joining us on the grill this morning. And coming up next, we'll ask the question of whether it is time to buy into Eversendai. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Tan Sri A.K. Nathan, Executive Chairman and Group MD of Eversendai, is joining us on the Breakfast Grill this morning. And Tan Sri, just taking a look at your share price, it hasn't done very well. Hit a high of a 5-year high of 137 in July or June 2017. Now is about half of that. What's going on here?
I myself, I'm always wondering what's happening. Okay, we had some challenges in the last few years. But I fixed almost all the problems, and actually, Eversendai share price should do much better than what is reflected. I mean, we announced about 404 million contract just last week. Rather than the share price going up, it is took in a dip. So I'm scratching my head. But anyway, I really do not bother too much about the share price. My target is how can I increase the profits, because ultimately shareholders look forward to profits. As I said, we had some challenges. And
what are some of these challenges?
Some of the challenges are more towards there are some two or three projects which we had in the past which did not do well. And apart from that, the overall involvement, I would say, sorry, not the overall, some involvement in the oil and gas sector has also pulled us down a bit. But I fixed that. Going forward, the business will pick up and do much better. And the business is growing. It's not like having any kind of issues. And our focus now is to increase the profits and overall to make the company healthy and return the better results or benefits to the shareholders at large.
Looking at some of the analysts, all right, market analysts, and what they're saying about your company, and maybe you can clarify as to whether these concerns make sense or not. Firstly, TA Securities are saying that they're a very short earning visibility compared to your other peers. And then Kenanga in a recent report said that your margins are very thin, and both the entities have an underperform or sell with lower target prices, even lower than today's target prices on your company. What do you say to those?
I run the company. I know what is in the company, what is going to be towards the future. Analysts, they have their right to write as they wish, because that's what they feel based on their assumption. So I kind of like
Kenanga is calling a 50-cent target price for your stock compared to 67-cent right now, and TA Securities is 60 cents, 60 and a half.
The net asset value of Everson Asia is far more higher. I don't know on what basis they're calculating. So in fact,
it is true though, your price to book ratios and your PE ratio, for example, only 5 to 6 times. Yeah, that's not representative of the construction sector.
Low. Yeah, I mean, in Malaysia, if you were to look at a Malaysian company who is riding very high in overseas, as you know, as I've said, 90% of the business is overseas, and our revenue is pretty good, and the profits are also improving compared to what it was some 2 or 3 years ago, and I cannot understand. So, to be honest with you, I really don't focus too much on the share price, because there are many reasons for price to fluctuate up and down. My focus on the business: how can I increase the profits? How can I, I would say, return the benefit to the shareholders? That's what I'm looking at.
Okay, that's interesting, how you're going to return the benefit to the shareholders, because since 2016, and 3 years running already, 3 financial years running, you've not been paying dividends.
Yes. And our target is to be a good dividend-paying company. As I've said, you know, when we had some issues, which I have fixed it. And when you want to turn around, it takes a bit of a time. So I would say going forward, 2019 onwards, it will look much better than what it was before.
What kind of dividend target do you have? For example, you see, if you look at your debt structure as well, that looks concerning.
Yes.
It's the debt equity ratio is over 100%, and that has doubled in the past few years. Yes. So does this crimp your ability to pay dividends?
I feel that as I mentioned, I've already fixed most of the problem. And eventually, we will be a good dividend-paying company.
And do you have any targets?
No, we are targeting, say, 2019, 2020. It's very difficult for me to fix the overall timing. But definitely, we want to be a good dividend-paying company. And that's what we're working on. Now, the issue is every company goes through certain challenges and difficulties. And if you were to look at today, there's a lot of external factors which affects business across the board. So even the global economic situation, sometimes political, sometimes even there are countries to country when they have some issues economically, then it affects the business at large. For example, even today in Malaysia, the construction market has softened. Because government doesn't have the idea to expand, develop, and grow the construction industry because of various reasons, which is what they're doing is right. But Everson's business, 90% all overseas. So we are not dependent on, as I said, single market, and Malaysia is one of our small market. And our revenue is growing, our profits are becoming better. So, but then sometimes year to year, that fluctuation will be there because of, as I said, many external factors.
Okay, just diving slightly deeper into these external circumstances, and obviously a lot of your projects are from overseas, but from a debt viewpoint, we know that that is very high debt, and your debt, almost 1.2 billion ringgit, consists of almost half of US dollar and UAE dirham. Now, the dirham has been quite stable, one for one to the ringgit, but the US dollar, that has been strengthening against the ringgit, and this will pile on not only the debt, but the interest that you have to pay in ringgit terms as well.
No, almost about 70-80% of our business, it's all linked to US dollars. It's all almost like you can say pegged to the US dollars. So the exposure is only about some 10, maybe maximum 30%. It's manageable. And our overall debt will reduce. I foresee 2019 there will be a drop, and going forward it slowly will reduce. In fact, even if you were to look at in terms of debt, it's all invested in some assets, and it will eventually will. We can, if you want to, turn it around to pay back by disposing some of the assets. But the problem is overall market situation is not so conducive. Today, if I my preference is if the market is good, I would prefer to dispose some and then pay off the debts, reduce the overall exposure. But then overall, the business is healthy.
Is there so this is below the line. Your revenue is healthy. Are there? How does your FX, is it gain or losses? How does that look like? Is there a natural hedge?
No, it is. It doesn't really affect FX, except that when we consolidate the numbers on the overall group. And when we reflected in Malaysia, that's the time we use the FX. Otherwise, in terms of business, it really doesn't affect us much. Why? Because the materials is the major portion, which we buy in bulk once we conclude any contract. Mm-hmm. And we stock it up and we draw down and use it as and when it's required.
Now, there's this prominent investor, Kun Yu Yin. He's the second largest shareholder in Eversendai. He's been selling in the market. Has he suggested anything to you in terms of corporate exercises? For example, if you feel that your share is deeply undervalued, are you going to embark on share buybacks, for example?
Oh, he does, but I have my strategy and my overall plan how the company and the group should go forward. So,
Privatization exercises are also in vogue, right? Do you want to buy back at, for example, the target price that TA is recommending? Like they say 50 cents. Would you buy? Would you make an
general offer? I would love to do that because I know what's the worth of the company. But it's just that we already are listed company, so better to stay listed. And also, if you want to go into privatization, that's another process. And I own 72 or 71 points, 8% or whatever. And it's I will not be able to own. So I'm dependent on whatever the balance of the shareholders. So it's got its own issues. It could be a double-edged sword. So I rather focus on the business rather than thinking about all that, because if I were to go into privatization, then I have to focus on that. So for me, focus on business.
Fair enough. And there was some drama that happened with the Malaysian Builders Association a few months ago, I think, where you were apparently allegedly, and alleged by Kun Yu Yin as well, who supports you in the presidency, but you kind of voted out as a result of a racist allegation. Firstly, this kind of thing shouldn't be happening in New Malaysia. And secondly, what do you think you will be able to contribute to the local scene as an active member of the MBAM?
A very small number of council members, they felt that I was too straight. And Too straight talking. And I always push on getting things done. I'm not the...
What were you pushing?
To make sure that whatever we have supposed to execute, it's all delivered and done. That's the way I am. Some of them found that I'm too hot to handle. And
was there anything like quite controversial that you were pushing for Malaysia?
I mean, not so much for Malaysia. I mean, I was focused on the association. I mean, within about a year and a half, I was instrumental in buying a piece of land, 1 acre of land, which never happened in the association before. And I was even pushing to even the convention where I was pushing to do it something very different than what it was ever done in the history. And so people just found it that I push and I want to get things done. So association. So individual people have got their own reasons. And I'm no nonsense character. And I don't believe in doing any silly things. So even certain things which it's not right, I voice out. So if I kept shut, Yeah, maybe I would have been still there. But anyway, I always believe in doing right. I don't believe in compromising on basic principles, ethics, and integrity. So I'm comfortable. I'm happy. At least now I've got more time to spend on my business and my grandchildren.
Thank you so much for your time. And that was Tan Sri A.K. Nathan, Executive Chairman and Group MD for Eversendai Corporation, talking to us about the finer points of the construction industry. I'm Julian Ng for the BFM, for the Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile for unlimited experiences. Baru la bes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.